All right, I'm going ahead and call the Transportation Commission to order at 6:13 p.m. And missing for the meeting is Michael Hutchison, Judy Hyman, Vance, Lily, and Christina Walker. Everybody else is present and accounted for.
I'm not sure what you said.
I'm so sorry that I wasn't clear. I'll go ahead and take a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any corrections, changes, or additions, amendments, issues? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. Minutes are approved. We'll go ahead.
Sorry, go back to your roll call. So I heard back from Michael, Judy.
Right. Michael and Judy did email us, and they are excused. And Christina is excused. We'll talk about that later, though. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get in business items, and we'll go ahead and introduce Chelsea Levy and Eric Chips. From Sound Transit to present on their long-range planning update and potential for Sound Transit 3 planning.
Great.
Take it away.
Thanks for having me. Do you want us to sit here?
You can sit. Be as comfortable as you wish.
You can do whatever you want.
I'm not going to make the expecting mother stand if she doesn't.
I will not dance on the table.
For the record.
That's all right. I can't. Well, thanks for having us. I'm Chelsea Levy with Sound Transit Government and Community Relations, and this is...
Eric Chips, Office of Planning and Development for Sound Transit.
So we were invited to come talk about some long-range planning work that Sound Transit is doing to prepare for a potential ST3 ballot measure. So we'd like to talk about that, as well as for context to that conversation. I'm going to start my presentation with some general information about Sound Transit. It might be repetitive for some of you, but it's kind of useful to have the context of who Sound Transit is and what we do and why we do it as we go into talking about future regional transit investments that could be made. So this is our district. It's a huge district. It's 1,080 square miles. There are 52 jurisdictions in this district and nearly 3 million people, or 40% of the state's population. It encompasses the urban and suburban areas of Pierce King and Snohomish counties. And we are overseen by a federated board of directors. It's elected officials from that are appointed by the county executives from the counties, elected officials from the district, as well as the Secretary of Transportation. So we have an 18-member board of elected officials responsible for oversight of the agency generally, as well as weighing in on project development and project funding for the agency. So we provide three types of regional transit service. ST Express Bus connects regional centers. We work very closely with our partners at the local transit agencies, Pierce Transit, King County Metro, and Snohomish County, who we rely on to feed riders into our regional system and provide those local connections. We also have Sounder Commuter Rail. So we have two lines of Sounder that run on the heavy rail tracks. Sounder North runs from Everett to downtown Seattle, and Sounder South runs from Lakewood up north through the valley to downtown Seattle. Then we have light rail. So we have two light rail lines. Centrelink Light Rail operates today from downtown Seattle to SeaTac Airport, but we are expanding in all directions, and I will talk to you about that in just a second. And then here in downtown Tacoma, we have Tacoma Link, which we are also working on expanding, and we will have a presentation on that in the coming month, weeks or so, very shortly here. So, a couple years ago, the Puget Sound Regional Council came up with population projections for the region. They're anticipating that by 2040, the region will have 1 million new people and 1 million new jobs. And you can see these bubbles here is where PSRC anticipates much of that growth will occur. Significant 60% growth in Tacoma is really significant. And the other growth numbers are significant as well. And so our board hearing this report from PSRC, started to talk amongst themselves about what Regional Transit's role is in moving these new people, a million new people around, but also today's residents of the Central Puget Sound region. How are we all going to get around given the existing congestion on our regional roadways? There's certainly a role for Regional Transit in making sure that existing and future residents have the same high quality of life that we've all come to expect here. So with that, they started to have conversations about the next round of regional transit investments and targeted November 2016 as the first possible date that Sound Transit might be able to put a proposal on the ballot for the next round of regional investments. And so that's kind of led us to this SG3 planning work that we wanted to come talk with you about today. So there's not, in addition to this regional growth that's occurring, we're also seeing a growth in our ridership. So the bars on the left-hand side of this chart here, the dark blue bars, represent actual ridership numbers. We're anticipating by 2015 we'll carry about 34 million riders annually. The bars on the right-hand side of the chart are projected ridership, and our ridership is largely a function of this regional growth I was talking about, but also when we bring services online. So you'll see those yellow dots there are milestone years for the agency. 2016, next year, it's a huge year for the agency. We'll be bringing on light rail to the University of Washington online, as well as light rail down to South 200th, just south of the airport. 2021 is another milestone year with the opening of the extension out to Northgate. And then 2023 is the end of the ST2 capital program. By then, we will have light rail to Bellevue, Linwood, and down south to Kent Des Moines in the Highline College area around 240th. So now I'm going to transition a little bit and talk more about this long-range planning work that we're doing. So with the board's recognition that the region's growing at a tremendous rate, they targeted, like I said, November 2016 as the first opportunity for us to go to the ballot with a proposal for the next round of regional transit investments. But there is a lot of, they have not said we will go, but there's a lot of steps that need to be taken in order to prepare the board and the agency to be able to make that decision at the appropriate time. So the first step we took was last year, over the course of 2014, we went through a process to update the agency's long-range plan. So our long-range plan is a lot like a city's comprehensive plan. It's like the region's vision for regional transit. And the commission, I think I made a presentation here on the long-range plan. The commission provided comments, which resulted in the update including the extension of Central Link all the way to Tacoma Mall, which coincides with the work that you're doing at this commission, as well as the subarea planning work that the city's engaging in and Tacoma Mall. So the terminus of Central Link, the southern terminus of Central Link, is now at Tacoma Mall as a result of your good advocacy and Mayor Strickland's position on our Sound Transit Board. It never hurts. And also, the long-range plan includes an additional expansion of Tacoma Link as well, as well as some other things. So that was step one. The board adopted the updated long-range plan at the end of last year. Step two, starting in January, we began conversations down in Olympia to about additional revenue authority for the agency. So Sound Transit's revenue, the state legislature, while we are an independent public agency, the state legislature gives us identifies the taxes and the level of taxes that we can take then out to the public for their vote and approval. And so we are down having conversations in Olympia about additional revenue authority that would enable us the funding mechanisms to put a package of improvements on the ballot. And then the third step in this process is developing the system plan. And the system plan is really planner speak, transit speak, for what will become the backbone of an ST2 proposal to the voters. And so ST3 proposal to the voters. ST2, by the way, was passed in 2008. So with that, I'm going to transition to Eric to talk about system planning.
Okay, good afternoon. So I'm going to reference this eventually, but I just want to point out that this is kind of the meat of the matter right at the moment, and I'll explain that in a minute, but something called draft priority projects list. But what this graphic shows is how we're going to get the steps that we're going to take to get from the development of this list now to a ballot measure potentially in 2016. And what it shows is that we are now in the midst of what we're outreaching for comments on this list. How was this list developed? Well, when we did the update to our long-range plan, as Chelsea noted, there was a lot of ideas, and the long-range plan was modified. And prior to that work, we were also, under ST2, looking at other corridors that we call high-capacity transit corridors. And I believe you heard about one of those that we came and made a presentation to you. That is specifically the extension of light rail from the Federal Way down to Tacoma area. So we were looking at these corridors. We performed studies. The long-range plan was updated. And that's when we then move into the development of the system plan, the ST3 plan. And we use the long-range plan as our guide for that. If projects that are going to get into a system plan and be approved by the voters need to be consistent with our long-range plan. So in transitioning into this early stages of developing the ST3 plan, our board chair directed staff to go ahead and put together what he called a draft priority project list, drawing on all the input that we had in development of, or the update of our long-range plan. So staff did. We put that together, and we're now in the process of taking comments on that. We have outreach that's going on with the public. We've developed a website. But we'll get to that also in a little bit more detail in a moment. But after we get the comments to this, at the end of towards the end of next month, in the middle of next month, then we will go back to the board and say, here's what we've heard from the public, from jurisdictions, from agencies, stakeholders, and then they will put their input into this as well, take all that input and say, all right, here's the final list then, and we're going to use that final list of priority projects as the menu of projects from which we create alternative ST3 plans. So this becomes important because you need to get on this list with a project idea for it to advance any further, and then it needs to also stay on the list in August. And once we do that, once we get that final list together, then we're going to analyze each project, and we're going to put a lot more information to each project. We'll put together what we call project templates. If you were around for ST2, and you can still look at these as well on our website, we developed these standardized forms to describe each project that we call a project template. And it has information in there from cost estimates, conceptual cost estimates, that describes the project in fair amount of detail, the scope of the project, and if there's operating costs, what those are, ridership that's associated with it, ridership estimates, and other things such as environmental conditions that you might encounter along the way. So once we get that final list in August, then the staff will go back and be putting together these project templates for that and for all those projects that are on the list. And then in January, we will come back to our board, and that's when, with all these templates, and that's when they will start developing a final ST3 plan that we'll then again take out to the public for comments in the beginning of 2016, all heading towards a decision in the May-June timeframe where the board says, this is it, this is our final ST3 plan, this is the one that we're going to put to the ballot measure, if they so choose to do that. They could decide, for whatever reason, that they don't want to go in 2016, they want to put it off to another date, but this is what our target is. So that's what this describes in this graphic. I got it. Went right around you. In developing our long-range plan and also in putting together this draft priority project list, we were guided by other input from the board about what we call core priorities. And this graphic just basically gives you a high-level description of these core priorities for sound transit and how we settled on this list. And up in the upper left-hand corner, and this is in no particular order, there's no priority within these priorities. But completing the spine is the light rail system that we just described from Everett to Tacoma Mall and out to East King County in the Redmond area. Ridership is always important to us. We're always looking for ways to increase our ridership. And as you can see from the previous slide, it seems to be doing well. Connecting the region's designated centers is very important to us. That's part of our enabling legislation. The legislature said, the purpose of developing a regional transit authority is to connect regional centers, something like that. So we look pretty strongly at whether as we're putting together plans, we're going to look and evaluate them, whether they're actually going in and serving a regional growth center, of which downtown Tacoma, of course, is one. Socioeconomic equity, we want to be mindful of the users of our system and making sure that we're covering everybody equally, whether it be income or what part of the socioeconomic strata they reside in. Up in the upper right, integration with other transit operators, transportation systems. We can't do this. We can't have a regional transit system without having people be able to get to and from it. And, of course, our partners, such as Pierce Transit, are extremely important in that regard. So we need to be able to get people from the beginning of their trip to the end of their trip, and using portion of that trip along the regional transit system, but also the local transit authorities and connection with buses and other modes that they provide is extremely important. And multimodal access is also important because there's lots of different ways to get to our services besides bus. There's biking, walking, auto, and we want to make sure that we have a balanced approach to that and that our project list reflects that we're taking that into consideration. Promoting transit-supportive land use and TOD, transit-oriented development, is also important. It's become more important, I think, as the growth has occurred in the region and costs for housing are going up and that type of thing. So our board is paying particular attention to this and how we develop these plans and how they could support transit-supportive land use. And then the last one is advancing logical next steps projects beyond the spine within the financial capacity. That one's a little bit esoteric, it's really just talking about where do we go from there? You know, what kind of logical things would we go beyond this planning effort? So that takes us then to the projects on the draft priority project list. And what this shows is that we put these projects in certain categories, but this handout is not actually, it doesn't show those categories. This handout actually shows these projects a little bit differently. It lists them by corridor. So if you're looking at this, the numbers are the same. The project numbers that we'll get to, but we just arranged them a little bit differently. So, but I'm going to show you these on the slide by category.
If you're looking at the back of this handout, that it lists the South Corridor projects,
yeah.
And the South Corridor is in Sound Transit speak, South King County and Pierce County. So these are the projects that are most relevant for you all, and the ones that Eric will go through.
Right. Just really quickly, the categories are deferred projects, enhancements to the support the existing system, corridors from ST2 high-capacity transit studies, such as the study that went from Federal Way to Tacoma, system-wide programs and studies from the long-range plan update, and then supporting system expansion things. And we'll get to the specifics of those as we go through each of these lists. And I just realized that doesn't match the one I just pulled out in front of me. Can I borrow yours?
Yes.
This one. Thanks. That's from a different proposal. So what we've done is, through this list of priority projects, we've highlighted the ones that we believe are of interest to relevant to Tacoma. So in this first category of deferred projects, these are the projects that are already voter approved in the ST2 plan, but because of the recession, we had to delay the implementation of these because of our financial situation. They're still able to be done, but right now we've held off on going ahead and implementing them. And among those deferred projects is S06, which is South Sounder train platform. Sounder is our commuter rail service. South Sounder is the service that runs from Lakewood through Tacoma all the way to Seattle. And the idea there is that right now we have seven passenger cars. If we're going to increase capacity on Sounder, one way to do that is to make the trains longer and to put another car, a passenger car, on the train. But to do that, we'd also have to extend the platforms. So that is an active project under ST2. We just haven't gone forward with it yet because of the financing.
So it's worth noting that the majority of our Sounder South system operates on Burlington Northern tracks, so we lease time on the tracks from BNSF. We own that, so that's from Tacoma North to Seattle, it's BN tracks. From Tacoma South through Lakewood, Sound Transit owns the tracks, and we have more control over our service there, but the majority of our riders come from the northern part of the segment that runs on BN tracks, and those leases
for track time are highly, highly negotiated and very, very expensive. And so really the most feasible way to add capacity to the sounder system is by adding additional cars as opposed to more trips, because the freight rail track is already constrained. So we're looking at all, there's tremendous demand for the sounder service, and we want to have the most flexibility and options as possible. And so adding additional cars allows for that in the immediate future. We're interested in adding additional trips. It's just less certain and harder to negotiate and more expensive.
So, and lastly, I'll just thank you, Chelsea, for expanding on that. Making these platforms handle 8-car train lengths is actually fairly straightforward. There's obviously a lot of details that you have to work out, but overall, from the standpoint of looking at Tacoma, Freight House Square area, and South Tacoma, where we have existing stations, it's a fairly straightforward project to do. That's not necessarily the case in a couple of our other stations further north of here, but this one is not as hard as some of the things that Chelsea was describing. Also on the list is SO1. If we were going to get light rail to Tacoma and an ST3 plan, we've got to keep going with it. In ST2, we had approved extending Tacoma all the way to the area we call Redondo Star Lake, South 272nd Street in South King County. But again, the recession, we had to pull back on that funding, so we're only going as far as the Highline College area around Kent, Des Moines. But we're still authorized to get as far as 272nd, so that's why it's a deferred project here. And of course, if we're trying to get to Tacoma, we have to keep extending that system further south. So this is a portion of getting to Tacoma, with light rail. We have an existing system, such as light rail that goes to the airport, and we also have a set of bus routes that we operate, such as the 590 series that goes from Tacoma and Lakewood all the way into downtown Seattle. And so this category is enhancing those existing systems. And in some cases, some jurisdictions up north of here are asking for additional stations along our existing light rail system. But down here, we would be looking at the other modes that we operate, such as RO1, which is kind of a placeholder for a lot of ideas. How would we improve the ST Express bus service that we already operate? So should we add more routes, or should we just add service, increase the service on existing routes? Are there markets that we're not serving now that we should be serving? So that's what RO01 is. And then again, as we were talking about Sounder, S7 and S8 are about expanding capacity. In the case of S7, it would be go beyond the 8-car lengths and go to something like 10-car train links. That is not as straightforward to do. That one actually has some pretty significant challenges to it at certain stations. So that could be a much more costly and difficult project to do. But it's, again, it's a way of adding capacity to what we already run without having to deal with new runs and buying our way onto Burlington Northern's tracks to get to Seattle. But S8, additional South Sounder service, would be that, dealing with Burlington Northern Santa Fe. If we're trying to add more runs during the middle part of the day or the evening, early morning, outside of the areas that we already have the rights, paid for the rights to do, or on the weekends as well. So that's what that project is indicating. So that's how we could enhance some of the existing services here. So from the ACT studies that we did, we already described getting down to Federal Way, and this project SO2 envisions taking it between Redondo, Star Lake, and Federal Way, and we're already looking at that through an EIS process. We expect a preferred alternative to be selected for that by our boards later this summer, and hopefully a record of decision from the FDA. So we've already done a lot of the planning just to get to Federal Way, but then of course then the other projects, as I described, for getting to Tacoma Dome, a couple of alternatives, one that would look at going along primarily the Interstate 5 corridor, or one that would go primarily along State Route 99. So
is there a cost difference between those two?
Yes.
There's a lot of debate.
There's a big cost difference depending on how you implement it. If you're going along a highly urbanized arterial, such as State Route 99 in portions, It can be pretty costly because the right-of-way cost, the impacts.
And everybody wants to stop every 2 feet.
For our study, we actually assumed an equal number of stops, whether we went along I-5 or State Route 99. We didn't want to skew it either way, so we just assumed an equal number of stops between there.
The extension from 272nd down to Federal Way Transit Center, is the leaning toward routing that down 5 or down 99?
So that's actually to be determined in the next 2 months. So we, as part of our environmental work, that's really what we studied. If you're taking a popular vote on it, I would say where everybody's vote is equal, I would say perspectives are largely 50-50. The jurisdictions have come out strongly for an I-5 alignment. What's unique in this corridor between South 200th and Federal Way is that 99 and I-5 are very close. And so the discussion really comes down to not 99 or I-5, but where the stations go, because we have alternatives that kind of swoop in to serve the population centers, the activity centers that are on 99, but the alignment would still be on I-5. And so that's where the jurisdictions are advocating from. The individual comments that we've received, they've also been kind of 50-50 for I-5 or for 99. There, a lot of them, including some of the advocacy groups, so the environmental justice groups, are interested in the light rail guideway serving to catalyze redevelopment along 99. And there's a lot of evidence nationwide that station locations catalyze redevelopment, but not so much the guideway.
Excellent.
So it's a very complicated and nuanced evaluation, but really it's kind of 50-50 at this point.
Okay. And why that discussion and that eventual decision may be important to you folks here is, if you take a light rail line, and we can achieve up to 55 miles an hour on those trains. And of course,
the more stations you have, the slower the train goes. And so 99 allows for additional infill stations.
Right.
Is what I was going to say.
Or where you're trying to deviate from I-5 to get into an area and then come back to an I-5 corridor, those curves actually slow things down pretty significantly too. So that just makes a trip along the system longer. Simply it. So, and when we put that into a ridership model, longer trips usually result in ridership going down slightly. May not be that significant, but it's still something to consider and think about. So also, S05 down at the very bottom of the list is the extension of from Tacoma Dome to Tacoma Mall, as we discussed. That was now included as part of the spine in the updated long-range plan. And we didn't do a high-capacity transit study on that, by the way. We only looked at going as far as Tacoma. This idea was not presented to us until after we completed the study.
That's fine.
So we're going to be looking at it.
So my question for you is trip time between Tacoma and the SeaTac Mall, maybe, stop. When you did your studies, did you look at those trip times?
Yeah.
With the perceived station? What is that? Is that something?
It's approximately 30 minutes, give or take. But it really does depend on the decision.
Wait, are you talking about Federal Way or
Tacoma?
From Tacoma, yeah.
Tacoma Mall, or Tacoma Dome, I'm sorry.
Tacoma Dome to
SeaTac,
the airport.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be 30 to 35 minutes, depending on how it's designed and how many stations you have along the way. So
it's competitive.
It's competitive. It's similar to what we have in getting from downtown Seattle to... depending on how you define downtown
Seattle.
I mean,
if you drove between the airport and Tacoma right now, it would take you probably an hour and a half. So
depends on the day.
Overall, the trip lengths, trip times, travel times that we were looking at in our study indicated you could get from Freehouse Square to roughly downtown Seattle, depending on what part of downtown you're going to, around 70, 72 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it depends on how you design the system. And you can compare that to 59 minutes on Sounder. So it's a longer trip if you're trying to go on Sounder between those two locations. Both of those, though, don't encounter traffic, so it's pretty consistent travel time. And with the light rail system, you can reach more destinations along the way, and you can continue on the system as well, and maybe if you're going further north or coming from north, like the University of Washington. make those kind of connections. So it, both of them have different markets and different advantages. And again, there's the Tacoma, so also the idea of expanding the Tacoma Link system. It really should say Tacoma Link extension to the Tacoma Community College area. It's not necessary that it would go bam right into the front door of Tacoma Community College. Do we call it Tacoma Community College now? Or is it
TCC?
It is TCC, because some of them changed their designations.
They took away the community.
They took the community
away.
Oh, but
not, they're
right.
Still
community.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
I wasn't sure. So, you know, that idea has been on our long-range plan for a while, and this one is made on the priority project list still.
So it's worth highlighting that this descriptor here is really just representative of a expansion of Tacoma Link, representing, I want to recognize the good work that you all have done in your subcommittee to identify other potential expansions of Tacoma Link. If this project was to be funded through an ST3 package ballot measure, we would go through an alternatives analysis and lean heavily on the preferences of the city, including the commission's preferences, to identify the project to be built. So this is really just intended to be representative. It was brought to us like this from the mayor, our board member.
And I want to layer on that too, that our exercise of trying to identify potential streetcar network really does help Sound Transit whittle it down faster.
Yes.
So being a staff member, part of this team, I remember very distinctly huddled in a room all day looking at 30 plus different things of confetti on a map of ideas. And now that we as a commission and the city can kind of hone in on a network, it really helps guide the future and get that process down really fast. So I think that is something that we should really be prideful in, that we were able to get that through. So,
yes.
I mean, it's not done yet, but yes.
So, last couple of slides, there's nothing highlighted for specifically for the Tacoma area, but I will point out this is talking about system-wide programs and studies. So, this is things that affect, you know, our services region-wide, basically, and ideas for studies, things that came up during the discussion of the long-range plan. But the very first one, R05, talks about system access program. As you know, as I described earlier, one of our core priorities is multimodal access and how we are efficient and effective about getting people to come to our services at the stations or reach our buses at the bus stops, and that type of thing is important. So this program would be able to fund research and analysis and implementation of trying to facilitate, you know, bikes and pedestrians and other modes accessing the high capacity transit system. We actually had a fund like this for an ST2 program, but once the recession hit, it got cut very quickly. And so we're trying to resurrect that and get a little bit more specific about where we can make where these improvements might be needed or where we might need now and in the future. So we have some funding for that. And then lastly, as we put together the system plan, we get closer to, you know, two or three alternatives that we're considering. We'll also have to start considering the impacts to the system-wide impacts, and that means how much fleet vehicles do we need for light rail, for sounder improvement expansion, and what kind of maintenance and storage facilities do you need. That's important. You've got to get those numbers right. They're expensive. And citing things like maintenance facilities and storage facilities is not always the easiest thing to do, too. So that's the description of the draft priority project list. And as I said, right now we're taking comments on that. Out in the public, we've sent out the mailer, as I think was in your packet that you saw, that every household in the region, that's a pretty damn big mailer to go out, but every household in the region got one of these. And it talks about our public outreach process for commenting on how we put together this list. We have what's called soundtransit3.org website, which is a separate website from our regular Sound Transit website. You can get to it with that URL or just by going to our regular website and finding it. And we're taking comments. There's a survey. We've had over 10,000 hits on our survey so far, completing the survey. So that's proving successful for using public outreach. We're hoping to get, we're going to close down the public outreach process by July 8th, but we're also extending to our comment period to the jurisdictions to July 15th. So we're looking for input from the jurisdictions in the form of a letter, an email to us that says, comments on this list. What are we missing? What did we get right? Here's some other ideas that we think would help enhance these projects on the list, et cetera. So we're looking for those comments by the 15th, and that enables us to then report back to our board towards the end of that month on what we've heard. And in August, then they can say, all right, and have their own input from whatever avenues they've gotten input, say, all right, we're putting together a final project list. And as I said, that's the one that we're going to develop the templates for and will be used as a menu to then create STT plan, actually. So, and then that creation of those templates will occur during the fall. And again, as I pointed out earlier, in January is the time frame where we expect to start seeing one or two alternatives, or maybe three, for drafts that we'll take out again for more public comment at the beginning of next year. So in the process of public outreach, we also have some public meetings. Now it doesn't show up here. I tried to highlight just the one in green with nice such as show up on the screen. But we've already had our first one last night. We're having open houses at our offices at Union Station, downtown Seattle. We're also having them in Everett, Redmond, other Richmond, but in Tacoma, and June 24th at the convention center. So you're all invited to come. And
Pierce Transit will be there with
Pierce
the table.
Pierce Transit will be there as well.
Yes?
Maybe. Yeah.
We're also in King County. They're in the process of updating, of creating their own long-range plan, I should say. And so they're co-locating outreach with us in the King County open houses. Pierce Transit obviously would like to do that too, because they're creating a long-range plan as well, updating the long-range plan. And then again in Seattle, another one nearby one will be the Federal Way, the last one, June 25th, if you want to come to the King County Aquatic Center. So we'll take a comment there. We'll have a bunch of boards that explain all this, just hope we explain it to you. And that's where we're at. So we look for any questions.
I have a couple comments. I'm really pleased to see the reflection back to SD. You have worked hard on that campaign, and I've been wondering what happened to some of the things that, you know, came out of that. Mm-hmm. And so I think not only for those of us who might remember what we thought we were going to get, it's a good thing to build from, and it speaks well to the continuity of your thinking and planning, that you didn't let things just get lost. And it will make it easier to support, mm-hmm. because these things are, at least in some of our minds, I'm sure, are still a priority.
Yeah, and there were Pierce County through, so Sound Transit was hit very, very hard by the recession, like the city of Tacoma, like other jurisdictions, like private businesses, and we had to go through in 2010 this thing called the realignment, where we realigned our actual revenue with the projected revenue, that the projections that were made in 2000 or prior to 2008. There were limited cuts in Pierce County from the realignment, but I think the most impactful one here is actually a South King County project, which is the extension of light rail to 272nd, because like I said, to the Planning Commission, you can't get to Tacoma without going through 272nd.
Yes.
So. Yes, so thank you. Thanks for your work on
that. But for the majority, I'll tack on, light rail was never promised to Tacoma and Sound Transit 2, unbeknownst to many people.
There's a little bit of a misconception.
Right.
So if you remember back, prior to ST2, there was a thing called Roads and Transit,
right.
And that's when the state legislature made Sound Transit combine with the roads package, and it was an enormous package, but it included light rail all the way to Tacoma, which would have been a great thing
failure.
For Tacoma, but it was very, very expensive. And the package, Roads and Transit, did not pass. And so the following year in 2008, Sound Transit went out on our own with just a transit ballot measure. We scaled it back from a 20-year time frame to a 15-year project time frame, and only extended light rail as far south as 272nd. But there is still some confusion about what people actually approved.
Oh, we all want to dream.
Well, and we all want light rail to Tacoma.
Yeah, right.
I think my point in bringing that up is Sound Transit has not failed on their commitments to Tacoma as much as many people want to do. And I always want to make it a point that We're the only jurisdiction that has two sounder stations in the entire region. The only jurisdiction that has received all modes and before everybody else. And so,
all four modes. Most jurisdictions think that right. Sound Transit provides three, but really we have streetcar too.
So when you're out there, the commitment has been full and true. So is there any additional questions for Eric or Chelsea? I see in the packet there's additional information just generally about Sound Transit in the handouts of taxi and all that. It's just edification things for you as well. So, no
question,
Andrew.
I see it says you're saying as soon public vote as soon as November's of 16 is. What's that? Is that determined by the board when a public vote will occur?
Okay. Yep. Yeah, so we will at a staff level have done all of the work necessary to get it on the November ballot. You have to file by spring of 2016. So we will have done the work, but you know, who knows what the conditions will be like in the region by then. And so I think the board wants the flexibility to be able to make a decision whether or not to put the measure on the ballot.
And the legislature granted you full authority, taxation authority?
No.
There is no response from the legislature yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So our authority is being considered as part of the transportation package. And so hopefully we'll know that in a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. I don't know.
We're blaming this on a previous board chair of ours named Laudenberg, who brought the U.S. Open.
That's what the legislators blame.
Taking a little hiatus.
Elections matter, that's all I'm going to say. Jane.
What about the part between Angle Lake and Kent Des Moines?
Huh? Right.
Where is that funded?
It is.
Okay.
It'll be completed by 2023.
Okay.
So that's the extension I was referencing to Highline College.
Yeah.
In the vicinity of 240th.
Okay.
We'll be operating there by 2023.
And it's part of a larger planning package for extending beyond that all the way to Federal Way.
Yeah.
That's the environment.
I just didn't know because this part from Kent Des Moines to Redondo was
a different
the
SD3,
but I didn't know about that.
That was funded as part of ST2.
Okay.
I really enjoy your 10-minute video of the possibilities of how to get down to Tacoma as well. It's sort of like the exits are here and here sort of voice of...
For Federal Way Link,
how to get to Federal Way, yes.
So that what Andrew's referencing is for just completed the environmental analysis. We have a draft environmental impact statement for the extension to Federal Way, and as part of that, we did a. It's kind of hokey. We did a video that is very descriptive in its hokiness of all of the different alternative ways you can get to Federal Way that we studied in our environmental.
But then you're there.
Great.
Then you're in Federal Way. Yeah. People in Federal Way love Federal Way.
That's good. I'm glad they do.
It's the closer to the
conference. Right. All right. So, any other questions? So, thank you very much. My question for the commission is are we looking to do a letter to support certain projects moving forward that can inform Chair Mello and IPS on a potential letter from the city? We don't draft letters to Sound Transit. We can. And while other commissions think that they can too, we draft our letters to IPS and through the chair as well. And I would be supportive of a couple of projects that were listed in doing a letter. And I don't know how other folks are feeling.
So this would attach projects to this list?
Things that we want to emphasize that Sound Transit should be, that they should put in the system planning for Sound Transit 3.
It would make sense. I mean, the more that we can get on said list is to our benefit. I mean,
right.
Do you think that we would want? Are you asking for recommendations on some of the options here are all the I-5 versus 99? Is that what you think we should put in our letter, or should we just endorse any method of getting us to Tacoma?
I think you can say it in two ways. You could pick one. Or you could say, please get down here as efficiently and fiscally efficiently as possible, which would basically be picking one, too. But, yeah. I mean, exactly. Like, for me, it's like, which one's on here are we looking to support, to push, and prioritize?
I think Eric has a clarification.
Yes.
A discomfort, actually. When we did the ST2, mm-hmm. we had analyzed getting down to Tacoma with light rail as well. We didn't have a specific alignment on mm-hmm. there, even though we looked at different alignments. We picked an alignment for the purposes of developing a cost estimate,
right.
and making sure that the cost estimate was robust enough to cover lots of different possibilities. Mm-hmm. For some reason, we've gone this route this time to list both an alignment along I-5 and 99, and it's kind of actually only for the reason of being consistent with some other things that are happening in other okay. parts of the region, where there's much more significant difference between the possible ways of getting between certain points. Up in Everett, they're talking about going, you know, miles off a corridor
right.
over to Painfield and serving that. So they thought to be consistent, we should also have 95 versus 99 down here. At the end of the day, the main thing that we want to get on the list is the idea of extending light
right.
rail down to Tacoma. And carrying forward a cost estimate that is, again, like I said, large enough to cover lots of different possibilities. And beyond that, if it gets into an ST3, the vote passes, we'll start all over. We'll do another environmental process, and we'll have to look at these things all over again anyway. So I guess I wouldn't use
that publicly too much.
Well, it's true.
I mean, it's true.
It's what happens. It's the law. So
the corridor isn't really mattering as long as we get down
yeah.
to Tacoma.
That would be
it's
my
like
advice.
Okay.
That would be my advice at this point.
Okay.
That's what I was just going to say. Has
the city articulated an alignment between 99 and...
The city has made no comment. We would probably be initiating that comment process,
okay.
and our comments would help inform IPS, which would help draft an official city comment from the city council.
Okay.
So, Jane and I can work on something for our next meeting, July 1st. My kind of thought is, let's get to Tacoma Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Smart people like Eric can figure out how to do that. I would actually like to see myself another link expansion. I don't think in our letter we should say to where, but just say an additional expansion to link, right? Smart people at Sound Transit will help figure that out eventually. And then kind of the other kind of big kind of ticket item was just sounder service in general, whether that be 8-car or more lines. I personally would like to see more lines or more trips happening than capacity on the links, but or on the car. But those are kind of the three things that I see. I don't know if anybody else.
I like those.
Anything
yeah.
else?
I like those.
We did you say that we want to extend to the Tacoma Dome or the Tacoma Mall?
Tacoma Mall.
Okay.
Via the Tacoma Mall Dome.
Via the Tacoma Dome.
Yeah. Don't just close your eyes and
not
go through it.
Not the SeaTac Mall.
Yeah. Great. Okay. All right. So we'll start drafting something and moving on from there, and we'll get it out the door July 1st. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. So moving along, just a fresh reminder when we're thinking about questions, comments, and all that to everyone, we are way behind. So item number B, infrastructure planning and sustainability presentation. Josh? Go for it.
Thank you, Chair. As you're aware, I was at IPS last week and gave a presentation along with Jennifer Camerzel. Our two co-chairs were in attendance and were there to help hand off this document along with the letter of recommendation from the group and the two appendices that are approved. And so you've all got the hard copies of the document before you and the appendices, and that's exactly how IPS received them last week. They did have some comment on the presentation, and they also allowed public comment afterward. Briefly, Chair Mello also submitted a comment letter, and there were some very well thought out comments in there, and a lot of them, I think, in order to help make his fellow council members aware of some of the content of the plan and some of the things that are important to him, I think that if you read that letter, which was emailed to you and which is up on the screen, you'll notice that a lot of the items that he calls out are indeed already addressed in the document. And I think that just highlights the importance of some of the work that you did. Some of the comments that we received during the meeting are potentially competing. For instance, we heard from Councilmember Walker that she supports the idea of some geographic equity or spending among the council districts. And we heard from Councilmember Campbell that there is, well, we heard a discussion of equity versus equality, and then I think somewhat of an idea that there be catch-up investment to serve traditionally underserved communities. And those two ideas are potentially at odds with one another, and so something that we'll continue to need to evaluate is the project selection criteria, which I think touches on, we'll touch on that when we talk about the project list in a few minutes. Councilmember Campbell also talked about electric vehicle infrastructure, which we did address in some of the policies, and we received citizen comments from the Dome District, and Jane, I might need your help here, from Liz Castor with the Puyallup Watershed
Initiative. Active Transportation Community of Interest.
Thank you.
What's that acronym, by the way?
ATCOI.
Okay.
And they had submitted a comment letter previously, and so you've
not
seen...
Quite.
I'm not even going to try. You've seen those comments before, but one that, and Jennifer, correct me if I'm wrong, is I'm not sure that they had included in their comment letter before, but it was somewhat of an idea that while the plan calls for increased pedestrian investment in pedestrian centers and the 20-minute neighborhood concept, they put forth the idea that perhaps that's exactly the opposite of what we want to be doing because those areas already have a higher level of pedestrian investment and pedestrian activity, and we want to encourage pedestrian activity other places, so maybe we should invest outside of those areas. So that was something that I'm not sure was included in their letter and might have been new during the presentation. Is there anything that Justin and Jane, you think is important for me to, for the group to hear that was also addressed at the meeting?
Councilmember Campbell brought up the issues with some of the mapping about population density and job density, and I think it's just a... I think that as we all struggled with maps, it's hard to understand how, the census tracks these things in weird geometric shapes of what's called TASes, and why one TAS might not look as dense as another. And so, for an example, the Salishan TAS, when I say TAS, is that geometric shape that is judged, doesn't look like it's as dense, but it's also spread out over a large geographical area, including where nobody lives, Swan Creek, right? And so, I mean, I think that that's a little bit of a... It's hard to understand a map like that unless you're in the thick of it. And the other issue was the Employment Growth Center and how the maybe soon-to-be county city building will be up in the Lincoln District, in that map does not reflect the potential of another 1,000 employees up there. And what we can say is this is a point in time. So
yeah, I think that's all
this,
it can
this
be.
Was created in a point in time, and
I can think of pieces of real estate that, you know, some developer might identify tomorrow and build, you know, a employment center there that we wouldn't have thought about, and we'll always miss one.
Right. So I think a little bit of maybe a staff explanation of why some of those might be the way they are is in order rather than us changing the entire document. So, but that's the only thing that was talked about. Oh, and skateboard issues in here.
They want more skateboard parks?
The plan doesn't address skateboarding.
It doesn't.
Or rollerblading.
The ATCOI letter actually did point out the issue with the 20-minute neighborhoods and plus.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, that was in there. And the other thing that they did address both at the meeting and in the letter is planning for skateboarding. and wanted to consider skateboard routes, designated skate routes, to raise the visibility of skateboarding and add skateboarding related metrics to data collection efforts.
Data collection efforts.
So, when possible, the city should separate out skateboarding in mode data.
Do we have any numbers on how many skateboarders are in need of their of routes?
We could get them.
I mean,
we there's a very organized skateboarding community who would wanted at one point to know if I thought they should bring out their forces to one of our meetings to talk about skateboarding. And I kind of said the particular meeting they were talking about wasn't the most appropriate time. But they do...
They would love to come.
Yes, they would love to come talk more about it and let us
I wanted the data just to come to us. I didn't need to hear the campaign speech.
Oh.
Well, at this point, it's out of our hands for the road, and it's to the Planning Commission to decide.
Yeah. They probably will give their campaign speech at a public hearing.
Oh, certainly.
So.
And that, to all comments that was derived, it's no longer our point in when it comes to these value statements and vision, because we're not correcting this anymore. It is in different hands. They approved the transmittal from us to planning commission.
Okay.
The comments that I do think that are relevant is when it relates to project selection, where they're at, equity amongst geographic equity, which I think I would offer is also just a kind of a tip of the hat to just minority and poverty equity as well, Title VI kind of things. So, and I think we'll need to figure out when we talk about the project list how to address that, to which I had told Josh already on the side is that we need to do a really good job of identifying a baseline and identifying gaps over time about what those things are. Because I do think that there's a lot of misconceptions about spending and expenditures and projects and where they land and how much and what do you judge. Do you judge sewer projects, you know, and how does that work and things like that. So, you know, a lot of nuances that need to be addressed and figured out how they're categorized and put into things. So, okay. Any other questions about that? Short of the stick is, it's off to Planning Commission, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when will their...
Yeah, what's their timeline? What's their...
Comp plan public hearing is August 19th.
Okay. And the other comment was actually, when would IPS start getting the appendices, the ones that we are yet to approve, and the answer is we're going to roll them out when we get to them, so... Okay. Very good. Jennifer, did you want to go to the BP tag comment one?
Yeah, let me just give you a status update on that.
Okay.
This is FYI. So Planning Commission is expecting to approve the comp plan draft for public release. I believe it's July 15th. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're looking to release draft. Okay, that's my understanding. Okay, so for VP tag, Jane and I attended the meeting on Monday, which did not have a quorum, so they met as a subcommittee. And the idea was that the item on the agenda was really the master plan appendix relative to mobility master plan update. So they had a small group, and they did a little discussion. And the idea is they came up with some comments. Nothing, no big red flags to change policies or, you know, generally they were in support of the appendix that we proposed. They'd had some minor... they'd had some comments about the appendix, a lot of word clarification, some grammatical things, adding a 6E, so like education, enforcement, engineering. They wanted to add equity as a 6E as part of their goals. In the MOMAP appendix.
In the MOMAP appendix.
Okay.
Appendix, yeah. So this is all relative to the appendix.
You're right.
Not to the draft. And then they're going to have a pretty intense discussion, I think, as well about equity. Because they had not previously really, they'd included geographical and modal equity during that first
development of the Mobility Master Plan, and now Equity and Quality has really kind of come up, so they're going to have that discussion. And their goal, and we've asked them to provide us with really some official comments and recommendations on the, at their Monday meeting, and that's what we would incorporate it. And so I let them know, we let them know we're on a time frame, so we need their comments. If not, it will move as is, so we can kind of keep moving. And another note, apparently they've moved their meetings to the fourth Monday of each month. So FYI, don't show up on the third Monday. So that's really it for BP Tag at the next. So if they have their meeting on Monday, I said that I'd want the comments by Wednesday, official comments, and then I'll be in your packet, your next meeting packet. But the idea would be we would take those comments, and then staff will work with the consultants to either do a proposal, again, to say this is what we feel should include, or you know, add to a work plan, or you know, conflicts. So you'll have that through July 1st, prior to your July 1st.
All right. Thank you. All right, so project list appendix.
So this, again, will just be a status update, but I'll give you everyone a copy since we'd already printed it out.
It hasn't changed from this, has it?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've, this one didn't print the dates. So okay. One of the changes, you might want to date it for today. So the subcommittee has been emailing and doing some correspondence some meetings as well.
It's the way the machine does it.
It is.
I had this problem at work the other day. Printed 15.
To take them apart and move the staples.
So it really, I mean, the only thing that we've done is we scored it all. We started to look at what that scoring system looks like as far as, okay, if there was a, you know, a typo for, can I take some extras that you got? Oh, no extra? Okay. Scoring systems, there was another one, you know, like impact fee, feasibility. It was the committee really looking at, well, I think this one actually should have, you know, equity as a one, or maybe we need to increase the score from zero to, you know, a different score, changing the score based on their evaluation. So we did a couple of those. John actually has done a great review on his own, too, from the neighborhood council perspective. And we anticipate that's what a lot of the, we'll hear feedback from other neighborhood councils, but those have not been incorporated, but they will in the next go around. And then one thing that we'll add based on IPS's comments also is a council district column and then a neighborhood council column, because the question came about geographical equity. And having done the six-year program for many years, they always want to know what projects are in what districts, both ways. So we'll add those columns. That's going to take a little bit to add in there as well. So what you've got is the project list scored and then done by overall ranking. So you'll see that it starts from, I think the highest is 17, it goes down
18,
to 0.
18.
18 down to 0. And the committee, really at this point, was Jane. You know, we were looking at what are we going to call tier 1? Which is not necessarily top priority, but what's the first tier of projects that we feel, you know, scored best, what the cutoff would be. And so we'll have that recommendation for you at the next meeting as well. So the subcommittee will relook at how that pencils out, because the idea is that the project list will will funnel into the comp plan as part as the financially constrained project list. So we'll, that would mean like tier 1 would be the financially constrained list. So this is just kind of a glimpse of what we've looked at. If you guys have questions about scoring as well, feel free to let me know. But I think at this point, the subcommittee will probably email or do a meeting discussion again one more time.
So I'm sorry if I wasn't paying attention. I was assisting
it's
Jane
my fault.
Or stapling.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. So are you going to be you're going to be filling in the council district and neighborhood council one? My question for staff is, and this is going to be, you can just tell me no. Can we plot these on a map?
So
can we put these 400 projects on a map? I know some of them are corridory rather than like a dot, like an intersection improvement will be a dot, but a mile-long road improvement will be a dash. But I think that it might help us ourselves visually figure out where these land on a map and where things aren't landing on maps, and it might be a really quick way to just kind of judge things. So
I don't think we can have it by the next meeting. But I think we've got most of them generally mapped. So anything in the priorities, we would have mapped. Mm-hmm. MoMap, I'm assuming they've mapped their short-term, medium, long-term bike projects, so that should be pretty easy. All the CIP projects, we've already mapped those, so that should be in it. It might just be some of the other ones. So just, I think it'll be double-checking that each dot or line is
right
on the map.
I think that map, after you look at it, is going to get real busy really quick.
I think that that's not a terrible thing.
Oh, I'm just saying
it's going to be hard to
It's going to be like when we put all the modes together on our TMP map where it becomes this.
I don't want all the modes. I hear what you're saying, and I actually don't even need them labeled per se. I think that you can go into a computer and figure out which is which. But I think that it would be very valuable to see the entire city of Tacoma and see where projects, this 400 project document, and where they all land in the city of Tacoma. I think that it would be very valuable, and I think that it would be even more valuable to see how, if you turned on the minority TASs and see how that overlays, and then if you did another map that turned on where high levels of poverty are in our city and where that turns on. And I hope that you're hearing the tenor of where I'm going with this. It might help inform some of these equity questions about, are we identifying projects that are clumped up in certain areas of this city? And do we have a problem where there are areas in the city where we're not even planning for projects? That we probably should be looking at trying to figure that out. Or does it inform us very well that we're right on the right track? So use it as a science experiment and see what comes up with it. And I'm more than happy to work with me and see what that does. So, yeah.
Yeah, I figure we'll start collecting the data or compiling the data
right
that we've already got. We can kind of see how it works out.
Right.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a map that would go in the book. I wouldn't.
I'm not assuming that.
I'm thinking more.
I think it's more of an edification exercise for us, if not other people eventually, if it works. My other question is like, we've had some like really cool ideas about ripping down an exit on the freeway. Does that land in here? Anywhere?
That came up. I believe it does. I'm looking at the screen if you remember. I can double check, but I believe it is in there.
Okay.
We're talking about the
15th Street
exit.
Yeah.
Which one?
15th Street.
That's just the one idea that has been consistent. And I personally would like to see that in there. So
sort of like a gateway corridor study.
Right.
Yeah. So kind of randomly, there's highlighting in the last two columns, the council district and neighborhood council. Does that mean something,
yeah,
or is it
yeah
just... Okay.
You forgot to unhighlight it.
Didn't get unhighlighted? Okay.
So when I start filling that in, it'll all just be white.
Yeah.
And is that the same for...
Yeah,
so
those are all done.
Those are the done
yes
ones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the idea is those would come off of the list.
Right.
Because they're already completed. The pink. Salmon.
Pink coming off.
At the very end. Yeah, the ones that are scored zero. Essentially
yeah
only zero.
Oh.
Okay. Anything else? So your guys' next step is our little subcommittee. Is to just
they're gonna
one more scrub,
yep, and then we're gonna pull out. Also, I'm gonna provide them with the comparison between mobility master plans. They prioritize theirs short, medium, and long, and that idea is that they'd had, you know, three categories of projects they wanted done in that order. So we gave a.
Are they in this? Or are they separate?
They are in them. So what we wanted to do was at least pull it out so we can recognize either it's consistent or it's not consistent, but this is why. So your
yeah
short might actually not serve any of the performance measures that we've got.
Right.
That's why it's not. That's why it's in tier 3, not 1.
Okay.
So we'll provide that separate to the subcommittee, so we'll look at that.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, concerns, thoughts? look forward to that. Look at that. We're basically getting ourselves back on time really quickly. Other business updates. Jennifer, do you just want me to read this? Commission reappointments for 2015 for Jane Moore's seat, Christina Walker's seat, Jackie Scott. I always want to say Strout, but that's not it. And then Judy Hyman's seat. I just heard from tonight that Christina Walker does not plan on reapplying. Jane does plan on reapplying.
I have already.
You have already. I don't know about Judy.
I have not heard.
And then Jackie,
I've reapplied.
You've reapplied. Okay. So there you have it, folks. If you know anybody that lives in District 3, that is Christina's seat. Think about that. And then Judy, I have no idea. So, and what is the deadline for that? They need to get that done by the July. Friday?
This month. On the 19th?
Yeah, this Friday. Friday the 19th.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to think about that now. Okay. Parking Technical Advisory Group.
No. Judy's not here.
Okay. BP tag, which
you've
I feel like
heard
we just got
that.
Heard
about BP tag. Their next meeting will be next Monday. If
okay.
I'll try to go to that.
Commission comments? I have one that I will wait for others. Go ahead.
I recommend reading an op-ed item from today's Seattle Times, mm-hmm. written by the former president of the Wallingford Community Council mm-hmm. in Seattle. Taking Seattle's $930 million bond proposal to task for resulting, I'm making up words here, but kind of rifle shot approach or shotgun blast approach to projects in the city, not really getting important things done. In other words, contending that the package was put together without really carefully thinking it through, and that's a lot of money. Mayor Strickland has talked about $500 million, and we're working on a project list at this point. So could she or we write down what would be in a $500 million plan at this point?
I bet she could. Because, you know, she gets to be on the dreamer side. But
well, anyway.
I think there's some...
It's just a cautionary note.
Yeah.
I think if I will comment, John, you do have some valuable thoughts here that when a ballot measure is written, what is written in the ballot measure is a legal binding document, and the city must spend that money in that form. And this is why Sound Transit, you hear Sound Transit stick to, that's not in Sound Transit 2, we can't do that. And so when, for example, when Pierce Transit was writing their proposition, we really made sure we were thoughtful about making sure we covered bases about service, capital, things and like that. So I think that you do have a point about words matter in that short 100 word area or whatever it is. So I don't know where that proposal is at, and this commission hasn't been asked to
maybe we can
provide input.
John, was that today's paper you said?
I'm sorry?
Today's paper?
Today's paper.
Okay. Thank you. Other commission comments? My comment is about our attendance as a whole, not individually here. And I have asked Jennifer today to put together a matrix of attendance over time of everyone, and I'm not trying to pick on certain folks, but you are. I do think that we have a responsibility as sworn-in volunteers of this community, and really, I could be just speaking to people that aren't here, but we need to address our attendance issue, and I hope that we as a commission can address it as a whole and really start asking folks if they cannot make that commitment that they need to step down and see if we can find other people that can. Because we almost had to cancel a meeting, and traffic is different, right? But we almost had to cancel another meeting tonight. We canceled one already, and it's doing a disservice to ourselves and the work we're trying to accomplish and the residents of Tacoma that we represent, the staff that are putting the time into it, and public that come, and the people that we present. And so I'm going to, Jane and I are going to have a conversation with the chairs and staff about how we go forward with this. We do have bylaws in there that addresses that, and we just haven't really been very hammery about it. So I don't know the next steps, and I'm happy to listen to more. So, Yoshi?
I don't know what's coming up on our agenda, what we have on the list, but maybe we can revisit the two meetings a month now that we're done with the sort of TMP bulk work, because I think that might help attendance. That might be a conversation we can have as part of...
I 100% agree about...
as part of the attendance conversation. I don't know, and I don't know what's on our work plan because I haven't been paying attention.
Right.
But whether we can fit all of that into one meeting a month.
Fair point. So we'll have that holistic conversation, and maybe we can come back with some recommendations July 1st about how we need to move forward, both with our meeting frequency and time, you know, and maybe we do need to allot more time for people to get from work to here, which is an appropriate accommodation in my mind, and how we address attendance issues. So...
and then also what I've heard before is also looking into the non-voting members... if that could be a discussion to making the voting, which would be a resolution change, not that hard to do.
And why I love my non-voting members here. So that would just increase our quorum and not solve the problem. Which I think you guys should be voting members, though, by the way. Absolutely agree with that.
Is the quorum reflected on a percentage of how many total?
Half of your...
You can't change it to be just a minimum quorum?
No.
That's not
a
good practice.
like a call-in option. I don't know if that's something we could do, because that can sometimes, you know, like oftentimes for me, you know, during the legislative session, I'm stuck in Olympia. I could call in.
While driving or on the bus, too.
Right, so. Or I could just be calling in from my office where I have to be.
Right.
And that might be true of other people, you know, in the summer when people are out of town.
I think call-in option is okay. We just haven't really put it out
there. I did it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... maybe we just need to throw that out more as an like, if you need to call in, please arrange ahead of time.
Right. Yeah.
So, which I think is appropriate.
Is there a conference call number? Okay. Yeah.
It's easy to get. So, more than happy to accommodate as long as we can get people participating. So, that was just my comment. Is there anything else? Is there other staff reports?
The project list doesn't contain the project to remove 15th. It's project 242.
Oh, it's 242. Okay, thank you. Okay, any other staff updates? I just want to, I should go back. I want to officially congratulate Jennifer on her expecting baby. we haven't actually had an official conversation about that.
Are we supposed to have a party for this, and then we have a party for the baby? And how many parties
later
do you need, Jennifer?
Yeah, so anyways, congratulations, and it's in the official record now, which I think is good. Anything else? Yeah.
We want that amend the minutes
audio,
of the next meeting.
Are there members? Is there a member of the public that would like to make a public comment?
Just a little housekeeping.
Yvette Mason.
Yvette Mason, member of the public. I think on the website it still says these meetings are at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So you might, it does say the two meetings, and I think it says 6 p.m. Not that a lot of people are blocking, but
it would have worked out perfectly tonight.
Yeah.
If we had a rush of
your gen is right. Your gen is right.
The
sidebar,
that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. See no other public comment, no other business. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Almost
done
time, too.
Almost done.
Very good. I'm so hungry. I haven't had lunch.
Can you hit the no?
Yeah. Is our subcommittee need to have an in-person meeting, or are we all just going to watch it?
I was originally...